Conference is being recorded.
Hooray! The conference is being recorded. Congratulations.
Hey everybody, this is Gerard Akiba. I just want to thank you for joining the call. Just a quick note that per the request of some folks, we're actually going to be recording this call. So that means if you ask a question, your voice is going to be recorded and possibly put on the Kiba website and other places. So if you're not comfortable with that, you may not want to speak up during this call. But if you have any questions while you're listening, you can send them to us by email at contactus@kiba.org. And we'll be happy to answer them. So I'm just going to do a quick who's in the room before we get started. I'm Gerard. I do customer service for Kiba.
I'm Austin. I'm the general counsel for Kiba.
I'm Roma. I'm product manager for Kiba.
I'm Brian. I'm a volunteer for Kiba.
I'm Stephanie. I'm the accounting manager for Kiba.
I'm Jeremy. I'm an engineer.
I'm Tim. I'm also an engineer.
I'm Michelle. I'm a volunteer with Community Outreach.
I'm Alex. I'm interning here with Michelle.
I'm Lauren, a volunteer on the customer service team. I'm Celeste. I'm the community director, but I just have a time for it.
I'm Jonathan. I'm an engineer here.
And Premal's on his way in. So,
there he is.
So, know that there's been a lot of controversy recently about one loan in particular that was posted by ThinkaPeru for a gentleman named William who was raising chickens for cockfighting. There's been a lot of questions about the policy, and what we wanted to do today, at least start this off, was clarify the policy that we have in place and hopefully help to answer your questions about the way that we handle these types of loans. So with that said, I'm going to turn it over to our legal counsel, Austin, who's been doing some research on this kind of stuff and can help clarify, and would just ask you to sort of hold questions until he's done with his little chat here, and then we'll take your questions. So here's Austin.
Hey, thank you, Gerard, and hello again, everybody. Thanks for taking the time to join our call. This is Austin again, Kiva's general counsel. And as part of our ongoing community calls and our dialogue with the Kiva community, we wanted to take this chance to address the controversial loan and help explain Kiva's overall approach on the types of businesses that Kiva allows to be posted on Kiva, and then address this current case more specifically. So I think it goes without saying that Kiva's community, its lenders, its MFIs, its borrowers, and its staff represent a really broad, diverse, and multinational group have widely differing economic circumstances, backgrounds, beliefs, cultures and governing laws and social conventions. And one of Kiva's values is its diversity in the community, and that's quite frankly one of Kiva's greatest strengths, is the diversity of Kiva's community. And although we're diverse in many ways, the Kiva community is also a self-selected group that together shares one common wish, and that's to connect with one another for the sake of alleviating poverty. As part of reflecting and respecting both the diversity of this group and its common mission, Kiva permits a pretty broad range of businesses to be posted by MFIs on the Kiva website, although of course there are certain exceptions. Now we believe that the vast majority of the loans on the Kiva website are very popularly supported by the Kiva community. But we also very much understand and recognize that in a smaller set of cases, there are loan profiles that for some of our lenders, whether they are at home or abroad, are troublesome or offensive, whether on moral or other grounds. It's important that our lender community understand that Kiva, at the very highest levels, personally involving Matt and Premal, have worked extremely hard to demonstrate fairness, respect, and good judgment in allowing or disallowing certain listings that's consistent with the spirit of Kiva's global community and our mission to reduce poverty, while enabling as much objectivity in the process. Now, this gatekeeper role is not easy, and it requires a careful balance. Maybe one of the best analogies is to think about concepts of free speech and how controversial some of those debates in the past in the United States have been. So to state it briefly, Kiva's policy is to prohibit loan postings for businesses that are involved in activities that are either, one, violating local law, or two, go against a defined and therefore objective global consensus that is reflected by a UN convention or a United Nations convention. For example, there are UN conventions against transnational crime, which cover protocols against human trafficking or illicit arms trafficking. So to restate it, so Kiva's idea here is that we are trying to introduce an objective way to help balance a lot of competing tensions. We understand that there are many very active, very supportive Kiva lenders who come from a wide variety of different backgrounds and are all, of course, commonly united in a common mission to help eliminate global poverty. Having said that, because people are coming from different backgrounds, different economic circumstances, and different cultural backgrounds, that there can be situations where reasonable people disagree and differ in terms of kind of what is fair or what is morally objectionable or not. So to help kind of navigate those shoals, if you will, again, the policy that we've established is that we are trying to look at a way to minimize subjectivity in these evaluations and to introduce as much as possible objective benchmarks that we can look at to help in a fair, balanced, and a reasonably judgment way make the determinations with respect to which loans are allowed to be posted or not. So again, the way that we kind of try to break the tie, if you will, is that if there is a global consensus that we can define in an objective manner, and the threshold that Kiva has established is a UN convention, then that's kind of the dividing line that we draw. So that's kind of the theme that we wanted to start this meeting off with, to help clarify and explain Kiva's underlying policies, because I understand that there are a number of questions that have come in trying to have Kiva explain or distinguish why certain loans are allowed and certain loans are not allowed. So I'm hoping that that explanation is responsive to the questions that have been asked. And then I will now turn it over to Gerard to help moderate any additional questions that people would like to ask.
Thanks, Austin. So if anybody has a question, please speak up. And just so that we know who we're talking to, if you can just tell us who you are and maybe where you are in the world, that'd be great.
Hi, this is Jeff. I'm calling from Lithia, Florida.
Hi, Jeff.
How you doing today?
Great.
I was just wondering, was that an answer?
How so, Jeff?
I mean, all I heard was saying that there are certain things that you try and look at and you try and see if it's a global community consensus. And the UN conventions is something new I've never heard before, but I didn't hear an answer to that thing or any more detail about that particular loan with William.
Well, Jeff, that loan was taken down by PINCA on their own based on the sort of the feedback that they got from the lender community.
No, I understand the loan was taken off by PINCA. I mean, I understand that. I thought I was going to hear a clarification of your policy.
Yeah, I think what was intended by what Austin was saying was a lot of people had questions about people really like to talk about the prostitution example. So if Kiva were to start up an Amsterdam MFI and there were a loan for the furthering of prostitution, let's say, in a place where it's legal, or even Nevada, let's say, would we allow that loan? And the answer is no, and it's based on this policy that Austin has shared with you today, and we were trying to just let you know where we draw that line. A lot of people were asking where we draw the line as to what legal activities we would allow on the website and which ones we wouldn't. And Austin's chat just then was to inform me that what we're using is a UN convention, sort of a globally recognized authority.
Okay.
Does that answer the question you were asking, Jeff?
No, because it's still deliberately vague. So to get to the gist of the matter, then cockfighting loans are still allowed, correct? Or loans that involve animal cruelty would be still allowed for blood sport.
Yeah, a loan for cockfighting would be allowed in this case.
Okay.
We would have to evaluate other loans. Like I think we've said in the past, we haven't had any other loans that would fit that particular rubric, that blood sport rubric. But we would have to evaluate those per this policy if they come up.
Whoever just joined, could you put your phone on mute? A lot of background noise. Or if you're on the transport, a lot of background noise.
So does that answer the question, Jeff? Just trying to make sure that we get to the root of what you're asking.
I think it does answer the question that blood sport loans, as of now, will still be allowed on Kiva.
Yep, that's right.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, could you give us an update, please, on a couple of the partners? I'm looking specifically for Ebony, which has probably paid back $40,000 or $50,000 of their loan. When you think some of that will be distributed, or what's the latest in terms of Ebony explaining which of their lenders have paid back and getting their books in order? And the other one is, can you give us an update on FSMA in Dominican Republic?
Sure. So normally Tim Hassett, who's our portfolio director, gives this update, and right now he's at a conference in Lebanon. He's in Beirut, probably asleep, because it's about 1 a.m. there. And when we asked him for updates for this call, he seemed to think that there wasn't anything that was really a total hot-button topic. With FSMA, we don't really have anything new to share since we had our last chat. With Ebony, I don't think that there's anything new to share either, but we can ask then.
Yeah, one thing that, we're sorry that Tim is not here this month for the kind of the problem partner discussion that we typically have on the call. But when we come back next month, he'll have kind of a full update on this. And then what we want to do is make sure that the problem partner pages, or the pages on the website, reflect the most current update. But generally, it seems like there hasn't been any material updates since last month.
Hello? Hi, this is Diane. I was in near San Jose. There was a downgrade of the status of ADESCA. Does anyone have an update on why that occurred?
You know, I don't think that we have a materially new update right now. We'll certainly post something. I know that a fellow was down there and that we still continue to work closely with them, but they're still looking for outside funders, and as that develops, we'll definitely let you know on the website.
So I think, Diane, I think your question is, did we discover something alarming that downgraded their star rating from X to Y?
Yes, that's correct. It went from 3 to 1, and there was some hint that there may have been some problem. We were curious what that was.
Great. And then kind of over and above the update that's already up on the site, is there more information that you need?
I think on the site it just hinted that problems had been found, so someone had requested that we look into whether there was more detail. So that's fine. We'll just keep watching the site. Thank you.
Great.
There was a question in the Kiva Friends chat room from Wolfgang, who is in Germany, and he asked about recently we switched for Vietnamese and Indonesian loans to a template because we're unable to offer translating right now to those. So just wanted to know about the status of that. Primal, if you could speak to that maybe.
Sure. So basically, the translation program is a volunteer program. There's about 350 editors and translators who, generously give their time, anywhere from kind of a few hours a week to much more, to translate the profiles that are uploaded from the microfinance partners. What we realized is, as is no surprise, and we talked about this on kind of previous calls, with the economy the way it was, Kiva a pretty significant cost-cutting mode, reducing about 30% of its budget its planned expenses for the year. And as part of that, we actually had to reduce the coordinator staff. So there are paid staff who manage the 350 volunteers, the whole program, the quality around the program, the recruiting for the program. And we had to make some cuts there. And the cuts basically, the way that we can make the cuts with kind of the least impact on our users, because it's just purely a financial budget issue, was we decided to stop supporting the Vietnamese, the Indonesian translation teams. It was just, there were translators, but it required extra headcount from Kiva staff to manage that program well. And instead what we did is we messaged to those microfinance field partners, hey, we welcome you to post in your local language and see if they get funded, to which they told us they were uncomfortable posting it in Vietnamese or in Bahasa Indonesian because most people who visit the Kiva website wouldn't understand and they felt like they'd be unfairly disadvantaged. So then we developed a template solution, which you see for those loans, which I think for the time being, the loans are, they might not have the same kind of color or flavor of kind of a free-form text entry, but, for now it allows those partners to continue to post. They're happy doing it, and those businesses continue to be funded. Longer term, it'd be fantastic if we could figure out ways to cost-efficiently continue to support different languages for the translation program. So that people could write in free-form text. But where we are right now, we're templates in those two languages.
And just, I'm sorry, hi, this is Darren. I'm actually the partnership manager for the Asia-Pacific region. And just wanted to just give you an update. We're actually working also with several volunteers in Asia to actually improve upon the tool that will hopefully will get the business descriptions, provide more detail. We're just kind of working through that right now and from migrating it from an Excel-based tool to a database tool. So hopefully we'll see it kind of improve in 3 or 4 months' time as we kind of test this out with some of our partners as well.
Great. Are there any other questions on the phone?
Yeah, I have a question. My name is John. There was a article in Fortune in March about possibly expanding Kiva loans to the United States. Is there any update on that?
This is Premal. We talked. We've been pretty open at Kiva about our goal to be in basically every country where there's poverty. And so in terms of, just kind of, hey, do we intend to launch in the U.S.? Yes, we do. And we talked about how it's an interesting kind of social experiment in many ways. In terms of whether or not we can specify a date, we've been asked kind of by the team that is looking at kind of the press and the marketing of that event to not really disclose the date. So, there's no real update on the date, but there's every intention to launch in the U.S.
Thank you.
Is the Teach for America idea still going?
No, actually, it's not going. Thanks for the feedback on the call. It's pretty clear that there wasn't like a real strong consensus that this is a kind of a 10 out of 10 win for Kiva. And then following the call, we had an all hands meeting at the company with all the staff and volunteers, where we had an open discussion. And that kind of lack of consensus that working with Teach for America is a really good thing for Kiva to do in 2009. We couldn't achieve that either at that forum, and so that was really helpful for me to see kind of the dissenting viewpoints. And we decided not to do that. And so we informed Teach for America that we're not going to be able to move forward.
Understood. Thank you.
The pilot.
Any other questions on the phone? Okay, well, in the meantime, our community director, Shelta, has a little
announcement. Hi there, everybody. So I'm not sure how many of you have Twitter accounts or are active on Twitter, but Kiva has recently taken ownership of the URL at Kiva, and we're very, very, very excited about that. And so in order to kind of effectively grow our presence on this channel, we are partaking in what's called Follow Friday coming up tomorrow, actually. And so I wanted to enlist your help for those of you that are Twitter fans and help us get the word out. So I just recommend that you visit Kiva's blog for more specifics on how you can help us. And thanks so much for that.
Chelsea, can you talk a little bit about what Follow Friday is?
Yeah, so Follow Friday actually is a way that the social media gurus out there actually are the ones that kind of came up with the idea. And it's an opportunity for people to kind of put forward organizations and companies that they want to recommend. And it has a pretty outstanding following. There's also something called Charity Tuesdays that we're going to be participating in probably in the next couple of weeks. But the blog has a little bit more information on Follow Fridays as well.
Okay, there were two questions in the chat room. In the meantime, thank you, Chelsea. First was from Wolfgang, who was talking about asking questions about some MFIs who choose to cover defaults for their borrowers. And I guess the question is that it's nice for the lenders financially, but also distorts reality. Do you have any comment about that?
Yeah, I do have a comment about it. Many microfinancers choose to cover borrower under repayment. While you're right, while it's great financially for this, it distorts reality, and in my opinion, it breaks that one-to-one connection because part of what establishes that one-to-one connection for me is the ability for you to take on the risk, the default risk, of that business idea, of that entrepreneur. And so if it's being covered by someone else, that's somewhat broken. So Kiva, what we want to do kind of in the next 12 months is just make this very transparent by letting the partners signal when they are covering borrower defaults versus when they are not, so that that's transparent. And then we also want them to upload kind of on a monthly basis their repayment, their collections file from their management information system so that we can actually get the real data about what happened at the field level.
Even if it is covered by the field.
So I think that's kind of going to be kind of the short to medium term response for Kiva, which is, allowing MFIs to cover the loss, but really asking them to upload their borrower repayment information on a monthly basis so it can at least be on the website.
A follow-up from Wolfgang Kreml was, is this something that we encourage or discourage actively?
Well, right now, kind of, when we launched Partner Admin 2.0, PA2, one big feature of the system was the ability for the microfinance institution to upload on a monthly basis or 12 times a year an MIS file, a management information system file, of their collection data from the field. And right now, and this is something that we encouraged our partners to do, but we do not pause a partner if they choose not to do it or if they haven't gotten around to doing it or if our system is too complicated to figure out. And what we want to do is kind of encourage more and more partners. I'd say I'm going to estimate, I don't know, between 25 and 50% of our partners probably upload a file on a monthly basis, which means that for 25 to 50% of the time, you're able to get real repayment data of these entrepreneurs. That means that we have a long ways to go, and we want to continue to, I think, encourage, without doing any enforcement tactics, on getting them to upload the file so that there is transparency around borrower repayment. Then, once we can actually get to, I would say, 100% compliance on uploading files so that there's transparency on that, then I think Kiva will address whether or not how we feel about covering the repayments. Right now, we don't really have a strong position. We don't encourage them to do it, but we don't discourage them to do it. It's just their choice. Feedback from the community on this policy and what we're doing right now would be appreciated.
Any other questions from the phone?
Hi, this is Lynanne in Seattle. A couple of us were at a microfinance discussion earlier this week with several other organizations like Gates Foundation, United Screaming, et cetera, and they were talking a little bit about consolidation amongst MFIs. Have you guys started seeing that, and do you have any opinion on it?
You know, we do have MFIs in our portfolio that that prospective MFIs as well as existing MFIs. This is Premal. We've heard kind of rumblings about that. To date, I can't think of an MFI of the existing 110 MFIs that have ever posted borrowers on our site that have actually been acquired by another organization. There was one in Bulgaria very early on. Or in Eastern Europe that was acquired by a larger organization. But, you know, we've heard the same things you've heard, but we haven't seen it on the platform yet.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions from the phone?
Yes, I have a question. My name is Regina. I'm in San Francisco.
Hi, Regina.
Hi, it's a little bit off topic. I have a question about the loan recipient and lender relationship. I noticed on this month's newsletter that you did post a communication between a lender and a loan recipient in Cambodia via a social web tool with a video clip, and I was wondering, what is Kiva policy about expanding our relationship with our loan recipient so far as, like, direct contact?
I mean, so, generally speaking, this is Gerard, by the way, it would be great if we could, all directly communicate with the loan recipient. And I think one of the things that we encourage people to do is put comments on the journals that are posted, to the extent that that's really technologically what we're able to do at this point. There are some folks who choose to actually go out into the field and try to meet the entrepreneurs that are supported. That's not something that we can help with.
Sorry, you're not coming in clear. It's a little choppy. I can't understand.
Okay, sorry about that. Really, what the gist of what I'm trying to say is that it's not something that Kiva really, at this point, is able to throw the whole weight of the organization behind supporting just because of resource constraints. And often for the MFIs, it's a difficult thing for our field partners to be able to, they're not set up to basically bring you as a Kiva lender out to where their borrowers are. However, it has happened in the past. If it's something that you're interested in, you know, you can check out the field partner pages on Kiva's website. And then, you know, if you want to try to contact them and ask them about that, then that's certainly up to you, but it's not likely a high success. Any other questions? There was one question from the chat room from Mungo, who asks if Kiva's official position is that we will adhere to UN guidelines when evaluating sort of permitted business activities on the website. Will we do it even when Kiva judges it's not in the best interest of our lenders, borrowers, or business?
So this is Austin again. I'm not sure if Mungo has a particular scenario in mind. I'm happy to try to address the direct question. But for the general question, again, the Kiva approach is to try to find as an objective a benchmark possible in terms of trying to decide whether events in particular are something that might be controversial as to whether or not that type of a loan will be allowed to be posted. Because, again, Kiva absolutely respects and recognizes that, in particular, the cockfighting loan was something that was controversial, and people weighed in and, in all good faith and sincerity, made their views very well known. And obviously, Kiva appreciates that. And given the fact that people have very strong feelings on this, on whether it's moral or other grounds, Kiva is looking to, again, in the spirit of the fact that Kiva is a global organization dealing with a diverse community, where we're also involving individuals borrowers who Kiva is trying to help support to reduce poverty, how do we address and resolve those issues? Again, the conclusion that Kiva's drawn is to look at the objective
the
UN
conference has been muted.
To try to break that tie. So I hope that's responsive to your question. If you have a follow-up, I'm certainly happy to answer that as well.
The conference has been unmuted.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead if you have a question.
Can you repeat that? It was all cut off.
Okay, one thing we'd like to ask here at Kiva is, could everyone who is not speaking put their phone on mute? There seems to be someone on the call or a couple people on the call have a lot of background noise. So if you can mute your own phone, it's going to make it a lot more audible for everyone else.
And you can mute your line just by pressing star 6, and you can press star 7 to unmute also.
Great. Was Austin, our general counsel's answer, do you want him to repeat the last part of what he said or the whole statement? Okay, why don't you repeat the last part of what you said?
So again, the idea here is that Kiva absolutely understands and respects that members of our Kiva lender community can find certain loans very objectionable on a variety of grounds, and we absolutely understand and respect that. So Kiva's objective and challenge then is to figure out a way to move forward from that scenario where we're trying to balance good faith, sincere lender concerns against a broader community connected by the fact that we want to support borrowers and entrepreneurs and help reduce poverty. So to help guide Kiva in terms of making that decision while balancing, again, the good faith objections that lenders might be raising against the overall mission and objective of Kiva is to try to look at an objective benchmark to try to help guide us in terms of the decision as to whether or not a loan should be posted. The benchmark that collectively, internally, we've decided to look at are the United Nations conventions to see, okay, is there a global consensus here that can help determine and drive Kiva's answer in terms of yay or nay on a particular and a potentially controversial loan?
So often a follow-up to that question from Mungo, who understands the need for a tiebreaker and objectivity, but is asking if Kiva, through internal consensus or a leadership decision, this is a hypothetical, of course, decides that a loan is not Kiva's best interest, but does not violate a UN convention, is it our position that we'll lend the loan? And I think that it's really hard to talk about this in the abstract, especially, you know, since really what we've done so far is sort of case by case. So if you have a specific case, it would be great to address that, but I don't know, I think Austin's answer was as close as we can get on this without actually experiencing it.
Right. So if there's a particular scenario that you have in mind, we're more than happy to try to address that directly. And again, this is not intended to either avoid a question. We're trying to answer as best as we can based on the facts that we have provided. So if I might, and I certainly don't mean to put words in anyone's mouth, but if I might potentially rephrase the question to ask, well, there is no international convention, as far as Kiva is aware, regarding kind of animal rights at the UN. We are aware that there have been efforts at that, but nothing that, as we're aware, has come to a final conclusion. So if the question, again, is more intended towards, okay, there is no UN convention, but is Kiva still willing to, for example, prohibit or ban cockfighting loans? Well, again, the approach that Kiva takes in those situations is understanding that, again, one, we actually respect and hear the feedback that we've received on this particular loan. We understand it's controversial, and again, we absolutely understand and respect that many people have raised objections on whether moral or other grounds. So, but as we're also trying to weigh against that our priorities and tensions of trying to respect different cultural and economic backgrounds as to how to weigh this. So, for example, this has absolutely, as I mentioned before, gone to the highest levels where Premal and Matt have been personally involved. So I want to assure you, this is not a decision that was kind of made at the medium or lower levels, if you will. Second, we've done extensive background research into precisely this issue. And what we've been able to discover is that as objectionable as we fully hear and understand that people raise with respect to the cockfighting loan, cockfighting, I'm not sure, I've learned this something new, was legal in the United States, at least in Louisiana, up until last year. And of U.S. territories, cockfighting is still, as we understand it, legal in Guam. And there are other sports in other jurisdictions, whether it's fox hunting in Australia and Ireland, or bullfighting in Spain and other Latin American countries. And so that has been part of the data research that has gone into the balancing and weighing test. Again, absolutely understanding that people in good faith have raised very serious and worthy objections and concerns, to which other people have brought in other concerns that Kiva has tried to weigh and balance. And so to, again, quote-unquote, break the tie, that's why we are deferring to looking at as much objective standard as we possibly can to try to guide us to this going forward. In no way is this an attempt to disrespect anyone else's standing or values.
Well, could I ask a question then?
Sure, please.
Would you support a person in a country who has a gun shop if the guns were legal?
So if I can break that question into two parts. So number one, if the gun shop is illegal in that particular country, then no, Kiva would not support that loan. Second, to the extent that a gun shop is legal in that country, and that's where that goes to the second part of the Kiva analysis, Kiva generally in that case would also not allow the loan to be posted on Kiva, not because we're passing a value judgment with respect to that type of a business, but because we recognize it's both controversial and that there is an international consensus or convention regarding the illegal or illicit trade in firearms.
No, I'm talking about legal. A legal shop.
Right.
The gun shop is a legal store selling legal guns. Would we support that? Would we post that?
Right. So if it could be verified with respect to the true legality, and that's where, again, I don't mean to fight your hypothetical, but that's why Kiva adopts the policy where, with respect to some of these controversial areas, looking to the UN Convention, but if you pose the hypothetical the way that you do, everything is purely legal, then the conclusion is that Kiva would most likely not object to that.
Could you put your phone on mute, Premal? Let me talk a little bit about one thing that I don't think we give enough attention to here, which is the user activism around kind of controversial loans. While Kiva, right now we're basically saying we need to point to an objective standard that we can, point to that basically, so we're not diving into kind of, it's not like in this culture, but it's fine in this culture. So we want to have this objective standard, and I'm sure people can appreciate that. Although, personally, I actually find, a cockfighting loan morally repugnant. So not only would I not fund it, but what I really like to see on our website is people actually sending emails to Matt and Premal and everyone else, but also sending it to those lenders who might have inadvertently funded that loan, even though it was made transparent, without realizing what it is. Or even going and looking at the field partner page, finding the field partner and sending them an email explaining the position, and then having the field partner, in this case, for example, kind of try to empathize with being culturally sensitive in other cultures and pulling down that loan. And I think, Kiva basically is a platform for people to connect with each other. And for that kind of activism of direct kind of advocacy change between, two members across a platform, that is something that, is wonderful to see. And so I really, we're not going to take this kind of corporate stance of trying to prevent that activism. And rather, it's fantastic to see this kind of energy around things people care about. And we recognize that, people are saying, hey, look, it's not enough to just say, if people don't fund it, Kiva has a responsibility because last time the cockfighting loan was up on our site, maybe it wasn't transparent, so we made it transparent this time. And I just want to be able to, I want people to be able to channel their energy into connecting with the people at the source of the issue. And then letting people make choices at that point. And so I think what happened just in this case with Finca Peru and being contacted by members of the Kiva community, I think that's a fantastic outcome because Finca Peru made its own decision. It wasn't Kiva applying a non-objective standard.
I think this is Colette from the Sacramento area. I think it's actually far more powerful to come directly from the lenders to Finca rather than Kiva acting as big brother and telling each partner, oh, by the way, we find this objectionable, and they have no way of hearing or measuring it. So I think that the way this was resolved took Kiva and their time and were able to apply it for more productive things, and the message was more pertinent.
Thanks for that, Colette.
Just a comment. I just thought that was a very positive way of handling it, and I like how it resolved.
Yeah, me too.
And I think the lesson is that the Kiva community can, in the future, when there are things that really are objectionable, instead of going to Kiva, is going to the partner and say, hey, we've got an issue, and I think we'll be heard more.
Does anyone else want to say anything more about this topic? I can tell you I don't want to shy away from discussing this way out in the open and talking about the role of kind of policy and then the role of activism and direct connection and activism in creating change.
So there's a question Premel from the chat room from Eli, who wants to know, even in countries where cockfighting is legal, there's still an underground illegal fighting that's not state-sanctioned, so how can we guarantee the loan that gets posted for cockfighting on Kiva is state-sanctioned and not part of the black market fight?
I think it's difficult for Kiva to guarantee that, but one thing that we ask as part of our due diligence process and our monitoring process is that each field partner that we work with operates legally kind of within the bounds of the law. And that's part of our due diligence and monitoring process. And so, you know, ultimately this is a field partner issue, which is if they are putting their entity at risk by funding clients in the black market, through the Kiva Fellows program, through our partnership with Ernst & Young, where we do field partner audits, this is something that would hopefully turn up and Kiva would become aware of it and it would raise a red flag from a due diligence and monitoring standpoint.
What would be a consequence of that if it
If it were found, then basically pausing or closing the partner would be one of the potential consequences.
Okay.
Any other questions about this topic? Or any other topic? No more questions? All right, well, if there are no other questions, then we'll wrap up there if nobody has anything else for us. This would be the first time we'd ended a community conference call early. And probably the only time.
Okay.
All right, then. Well, if you have any other questions, feel free to send them to contact@kiva.org. We're going to figure out a place where we can put a recording of this call where it makes sense. Thanks, for everybody, for participating in the chat room and on the call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please.